God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. It's called the God School because the subject of the teaching of this ministry is God. And that done through His Word, that men and women may come to faith. Not all that other stuff that Christianity seems to talk about, the do-dos and the don't-dos, but to faith. And we have been teaching through the book of Romans. We titled this series, The Christian's Journey as Seen in the Book of Romans. We have covered now through the 12th chapter. And when I say covered, by no means covered all. There is so much, such richness to be mined in this epistle of Paul to the Romans. We're doing what we can. To the intent that contrary to traditions, that your faith, which is the only thing that's pleasing to God, might be strengthened and expanded. Now, I really had hoped, because this has been a strenuous yet fulfilling and joyful study that we have undertaken, but I had really hoped that today was going to be the last day, but I believe God, I have every confidence God had other ideas, because we're not going to complete it today. I want to begin this teaching in the 13th chapter, but trying to give some context in this beginning in this 12th chapter, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and what he's talking about there is everything that has gone before, where Paul has put forward the both philosophic foundation as well as historic foundations for our faith, for our putting our trust in Jesus Christ and God our Father, and in the 12th, 13th, 14th, and even 15th chapters of this epistle, he's putting forth practical matters. And he's continuing in this 13th chapter, wherein he says, "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or ordered of God." Let's see if I can bring some historical perspective to this. Stay with me. In the book of Daniel, 2nd chapter, 21st verse, gives us some context. It says in the 20th verse of the 2nd chapter, "And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Ladies and gentlemen, I do not pretend to be a constitutional scholar, but this much I know, that in the history of mankind, there was never a nation on the face of the earth that had not made the king the law. But God, when he gathered the founding fathers of the United States of America, I believe a gathering of men influenced more by the Word of God than any gathering of men prior to it, when those men gathered and created the law of the United States, they did not make the king law, they made the law king. And in the United States, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, And this verse has been used too often to suggest that we are subject to something other than the Constitution. The policeman who attempts to exert himself as the law, I really don't want to get into the political aspect of all this, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. Even up to those 9 unelected individuals who are collectively called the Supreme Court, who have in times past and are continuing not to support the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, but somehow interpret it and change its meaning. Suffice it to say, in the United States, God did something new, and we are now beholden to that which God did. I believe, I have no doubt of, the Constitution of the United States, and not all the supposed representatives thereof who have and are polluting that most precious and unique document in the history of man. No power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or ordered of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, King James, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The word in the Greek is krema, and it has to do contextually with temporary judgment. The word is translated very strongly here. I think that you can see traditions of men, influence of the power at the time of the king, influencing the choice of words the translators used here. It's temporary judgment, but you know, if you only had shall receive to themselves damnation, oh my goodness. You might be scared out of your wits if, God forbid, somehow you break the law of man. That's not what it says here, folks. If, God forbid, we are judged to have broken some law, It's a temporary judgment. It is not the condemnation, ultimate condemnation of God that's going to come upon us. If that eases anybody's conscience, God be thanked. I'm certainly not promoting unlawfulness here, but I am trying to point out what power God ordained in this country, and that power is the Constitution. Now, look, Paul goes into some practical matters here, and certainly it's well worth reading. I don't want to spend the time going through them. Oftentimes it's kind of, to me, like reading Proverbs. There's good things to be found in discussing practical matters. But that's not what we're going to do this morning. So, after you hear this message, I want you to go back and read for yourselves these passages that we'll cover this morning. The 9th verse. Paul goes into discussing the law, and he says, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. This some call a love chapter. The great love chapter is the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I'm sorry his name doesn't come to mind, but I have a little book where a great teacher expounds all those verses found in 1 Corinthians 13. And ultimately he comes to this conclusion that the ultimate love Paul is talking about is not only expressed, but found in the person of Jesus Christ. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Jesus, we could say, worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, Jesus is the fulfilling of the law. Paul says in the 13th verse, let us walk honestly. Alternative translation is decently, as in the day, and not rioting and drunkenness, and not chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's repeated in the book of Galatians in the 3rd chapter. Galatians Paul again. Gives witness to what he's saying in this 14th verse of the 13th chapter of Romans in Galatians 3. Wow, his theme is so consistent. I'm going to read all the verses. Because it gives witness to what Paul has said in all the preceding declarations up through this 12th chapter in Romans. It says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be righteousified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster of the law, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. More witness, more consistency in this gospel of God revealed in Christ Jesus. When you put on Christ, and that happens by faith, God, and that all is a gift of God, because you or I really don't put on Christ, God puts us in Christ. As the Colossian letter says, we're hid in Christ. God now looks at each and every one who is trusting him, who is in this faithing relationship with him, as Christ. And not as a result of all this other stuff, but as a result of faith. As Paul opened this letter of Romans, he says, the righteous by faith shall live. Paul goes on in the 14th chapter, where he says, and he's discussing, him that is weak in faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. We're not to make decisions about a brother in Christ who maybe doesn't have as strong a faith as we have. Paul, I'm trying not to go verse by verse. I'm trying to give an overview. Look, Paul says it in the second verse. He says, "For one faitheth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." Another who has not been totally convinced that God gives us the performance of Christ for faith, that still thinks somehow or other the do-dos and the don't-dos are going to affect his or her relationship with God. When God is looking for faith, and for faith, God puts on us the Lord Jesus Christ and puts in us His Holy Spirit. Paul's gonna, you know, he's gonna get into talking about, well, who celebrates this day or who celebrates that day. He says in the last part of the sixth verse, he says, "He that eateth," that is, anything, "eateth to the Lord, he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set him at, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? That means looking at someone else, judging them, which is not our job. I'll remind you of that most enlightening statement found in the book of Ecclesiasticus, which is not in your Bible, but was the book, that is, but was virtually in the Bible for 2,000 years before the British and foreign Bible societies cut it out, wherein it says, "Seek not to be judged, seeing that you have not power to remove iniquity." Boy, oh boy, does that. That brings it home to me. I hope it brings it home to you. Only God has that power. And when it talks about setting at naught your brother, that's to count him as nothing. We're not to do that. We're not to do that. Do we do that? afraid it slips out. I mean, you know, Paul says those that are strong in faith are not to make decisions about those that are weak in faith. I think the history of the church seems to have concentrated itself on the weaker things of faith, that is, the do-dos and the don't-dos, rather than the strongest things of faith, that is, Jesus Christ, who paid the full price for all our sins, in that he did the will of God, which was to give his life for us, and whom God, for his faith, raised him again. Paul says in the 14th verse, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Paul says in the 23rd verse of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful for me. All things, Pontus includes everything, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things, but all things edify not. And he goes on to say, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. The 22nd verse of this 14th chapter, Paul says, he gets down to it and he says, have you faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not. Again, we're talking temporary judging of oneself. Happy is he that judges not himself in the things, King James translates, which he alloweth. Now, this word being translated here in the King James, alloweth, the word is dokomisos. And a better translation is in the things which he approves. The root word is dokomizo, and it means to test, to prove, to scrutinize, looking to see whether a thing is genuine. And after having proved things are genuine, then one approves. And having looked at the good news, at the gospel of Jesus Christ, and found it to be genuine, and keeping our focus on that gospel, on that good news, keeping our result of testing on the declaration that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation in us, King James translates that 16th chapter, the first verse, for it is the power of God unto salvation too. No, it's in. For faith, God puts his spirit in us. It's an activity of God. And we have looked at it and examined it and scrutinized it and tested it and found it to be genuine. And the result is that we're happy. Because we condemn not ourselves. Now, quite frankly, I understand why the translators used this word, alloweth, condemneth not himself and the thing which he allows. Things get out. I got bad news for some of you Christians who think you're not a sinner and somehow or other, because you are a sinner and sin comes out, and you can't know about your condition of sin without the Holy Ghost, without the Spirit of God, but we who are strong in faith have settled the fact that God did lay on Jesus Christ all of our iniquities. Not one that God didn't know about. He laid them all, past, present, and future, on Christ. And therefore we can be happy. When that old man, from time to time, you know, gets out, whether we allowed it or not, you know, Paul, I mean, go back to the 7th chapter. Paul describes a man unable. But we're talking about the enabling of God through this gospel of Jesus Christ, in which we have put our trust. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he approves, which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned. Again, strong word. The Greek is not the real strong word, katakrima, but again, krima, krina, krino, temporary. Because he eats not of faith. And Paul gives this conclusion after saying all that has gone before. He sums it up this way: for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Stay in faith, folks. But have this confidence. Have this confidence. That when we, as it says in the 17th verse of the first chapter of Romans, that when we begin to generate that gift of faith that God has given to us, God even adds the faith of Jesus Christ to our faith. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Paul's admonition in Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That doesn't mean, you know, we're looking around and found somebody doing something wrong that we might judge them. That means the old man took over, came out, got out. We are to bear their infirmities and continue, if you would, to attempt to edify one another. The reason he gives is, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached you fell on me. Jesus, the subject, speaking. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that King James says, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Paul speaks of this Christian journey oftentimes in terms of warfare, that warfare, our flesh warring against the spirit and the spirit warring against the flesh. I would have you understand wherein King James translates that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, they kind of take the edge off of this journey. The Greek has it this way, that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures might have hope. Now, in this 15th chapter, the 13th verse, is both a prayer of Paul's, and I believe, I have no doubt, a promise of God. It says, King James translation, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me see if I can do this. I'm going to attempt to give you the literal of the Greek. The Greek reads, ho de theos. Translate. Moreover, the God of the hope, not some generic hope, the God of the hope both this word elpidos, translated hope, is in the genitive. That's something God is generating. May fill you with all joy. This word joy is in the genitive case. It's not that which we're generating, it's that which God is generating in us. which with all joy and Irenaeus, peace, again in the genitive, it says, peace in believing, King James says, but the Greek says, in the pestuon, in the faithing, this article, this definite article, which comes before the word pistuon, translated believing, we would better translate faithing. This definite article, the faithing, is in the dative, and that is something that is being done to and in and for and by God for King James says that ye may abound. Again, we have a definite article for the abounding present for the abounding you in the hope in the hope Elpidi, Greek for hope. Folks, again, it's in the dative, it's being done to or in us. It's all of God, what he's saying, in the power. Again, in the dative case, being done in or to or for or in the dunamai. We get our word dynamite from that. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Greek says pneumatos hagio, translated of the Holy Spirit. Now the God of the hope, God's doing this, fill you with all joy. Kara is the Greek word. It's a cognate of grace. It's comes as a result of understanding and peace. See if I can do this all together. Now, the God of the hope,
fill you with awe, joy through understanding, and peace. God is not against us. We are set together again in God to the faithing that ye may in the abounding of the hope that God has put in you through the power that God has put in you, and that power of His Holy Spirit. Those who have heard the word of God today . My prayer is that you receive it in faith and perhaps through this teaching of God's word may continue abounding in faith, giving all glory to God because He is doing it in each and every one of us whom He has chosen. By grace. And that's the God School for today.